right, morning, everybody. My name is David Soren. I'm the lead pastor here at Renovation Church. Well, if you didn't happen to notice on your way in today, our new adult wing opened today, which is super fun. Yeah, praise God. We would love, if you didn't see it yet, we would love for you to check it out after the service. It includes a new, larger parent-child room. It has five adult classrooms or meeting rooms for our Renovation U classes and other meetings. There's three conference rooms. It has our new offices, which are open today, if you want to walk back in there and see them. And it has our new library. And listen, we went all out on the library. Not only is it going to be open on Sunday mornings, it is going to be open during the week. If you want to come in, we have a self-checkout system that you can use. We even have an online catalog, which you can access through our app. And through our website, you can go in there and you can reserve a book. It'll be held for you when you come and pick it up. And our library collection can actually still more than double in size. We just want to get a feel at first of what you like to check out. You can even make a request online or to our local church librarians. Okay, and let me say one more thing too about the rooms, our classrooms, our meeting rooms in that area. We have named those five classrooms after the different periods in our church's history. So take a look at this. These are the names of the rooms. Many of you recognize these. Some of you are new, and that's okay. The Amplify room is named after a period of our church going all the way back to 2014, where we were in a season where we were raising funds for and acquired this amazing piece of land that we are on now. Harvest is named after the period where we were preparing to build this building the first time. Illuminate is the period that we're in right now. That's the expansion of this building. North Point pays homage to the elementary school that we met at for the first 11 years of our church's history and this summer. And then the Rain Tree room is named after the Rain Tree Professional Center, which is where for 7 years, actually, we had our church offices, our youth group met there, and all of our Renovation U classes were there as well. And what's super, super cool is that each of these five rooms has a history sign in them like this one. So take a look at this. Each room has a sign like this, and what it does is it tells the story of what God was doing in that era of our church, and it tells about the many miracles that God did to get us here in particular. And really our vision for that is kind of like, remember the Old Testament where Joshua leads the Israelites through the Jordan River, and when they get to the other side, he takes the 12 stones from the center and he sets them up so that everyone will remember what God did. That's what we want. We want this to be a reminder to those of us who lived through it and a testimony to future generations that the Lord absolutely did amazing things for and through the church body called the Renovation Church. So I cannot encourage you enough, after the service today, head over and check all that out. Okay, we're going to get into today's message. We are continuing in our study of the letter of Ephesians in the New Testament. And today we've come to a fairly famous passage about our battle against spiritual evil, that is the devil and his demons. Now, time out for a second, because there are probably a few of you in the room that just went like, I'm sorry, did he just say what I thought he said? Like, do you actually believe that? And I always explain it this way. Outside of like atheist, I find that almost no one has a hard time believing in the existence of angels. And if good spiritual beings exist, then it absolutely stands to reason that bad spiritual beings exist. And if these evil spiritual beings are around, and if they are waging war against you, like the Bible says, then probably the worst thing we could do in this situation would be to pretend like it's not happening. And so we've got to study what the Bible actually teaches on it. So go ahead and grab a Bible if you brought your own. If you didn't, we have Bibles at every chair that you absolutely can use. We'd love everybody to look at it. We're going to be on page 801 on our church Bibles. You know, the Bible actually has a lot to say about the devil. He appears in the third chapter of the very first book, and then he continues to appear all throughout the Bible, all the way to the third to the last chapter of the very last book of the Bible. Jesus, when he's on earth, encounters the devil, and he teaches on him often. In fact, did you know that every writer of the New Testament mentions the devil, including Paul here in Ephesians? So let's take a look at our passage. We're chapter 6, that's the big number 6, verse 10, that's the small number 10. If you find that, you will be in the right spot. Okay, here's what the Word of God says. It says, finally, Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Okay, let's pause there for a few minutes. So we're told that we are to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the devil's schemes. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 that the devil's main aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do things like steal your joy. He wants to kill your Christian marriage. He wants to destroy your faith. He'll do whatever he can to draw you away from following Jesus, and he wants to destroy your mission. And your main mission is to live your life to glorify God. And sometimes when we talk about the devil, people get overly focused, and they feel like, oh, that was the devil, that was the devil, that was the devil. Now, I want to be biblical here, and if we study the scriptures, we'll see that sin doesn't only come from the devil or from demons. Sin can come from three different places. So take a look at this. Sin can come from inside of us. That is our sinful nature. We've been teaching on that a lot this year. Sin can come from around us. The New Testament calls that the world. It's like the sinful parts of our culture. And sin can come from outside of us. That is this spiritual evil that we're talking about. And if you want to have a biblical, holistic understanding of sin, you've got to factor in all three of these systems. And in fact, Paul tells us that while the devil can't make you sin, okay, only you can do that, Paul tells us that we ought to see the devil's evil tempting system as actually our primary opposition. Okay, this was verse 12. Verse 12, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, so not against other people, but instead, it's against the powers of this dark world. It's against the evil spiritual forces. What does that mean? It means this. As you think about all the dark things that are happening in our world right now, or happening in our country right now, what it means is the main source of the darkness is not a human evil, but a spiritual evil. And so, practically, this means that your main opposition is not an evil politician, or an evil country, or an evil company, but it is the spiritual forces that lie behind those things. And this is true even on a micro level, right? If there's a wedge that's growing between you and your spouse right now, or there's a hatred that's growing between maybe you and a sibling, we are to remember that our battle is not primarily with flesh and blood. It's not with that other person. It is primarily a spiritual battle that we have to deal with. And as I think about this, I feel like way too many Christians in the West are not even in the fight here. Now, this is not true in Africa or in Asia or many other places around the world, but in the West, many Christians don't even believe in the devil or in the demonic, or they say they do, but honestly, they just sort of give lip service to it. Plenty of American Christians haven't really thought much about the armor of God. They're certainly not applying it or putting it on. They're just not in the fight. And here's the problem with that. You may feel ambivalent towards this spiritual fight, but guess who doesn't feel ambivalent? The devil, right? You may feel like, it doesn't really matter. He's like, I'm so glad they're not fighting. You know how many more punches I can get in when they're not fighting? And so you've got to be in the fight. And listen, sometimes we call this, in the Christian world, we call this spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare can occur in a number of different ways. Sometimes it's just in the form of difficult temptations. Sometimes it's a season of intense doubt. It can be an unexpected just discouragement that's lingering over you, or a bitterness that just won't go away. You know what? Sometimes in spiritual warfare, the devil will actually tempt you with money or success to distract you. You might get obsessed with a relationship. Sometimes he just gets you in laziness or in apathy. So, so many different ways. And so four times in this short little passage, Paul tells us to stand. What does he mean? He means you've got to, the devil's coming at you. You need to stand firm so he doesn't knock you down, because God wants to use you. He wants to use you to accomplish his mission on this earth. And so as we start talking through the actual pieces of the armor of God in a second here, let me point out that the armor of God pieces are not as spiritually fancy as some people make them out to be. You're not going to recite a spell here, okay? You're not magically placing the helmet of salvation on your head or anything silly like that. No, in fact, putting on the armor of God just simply means applying the gospel. Like, the gospel is the good news that Jesus can save you by faith. It just means you're just applying the gospel and you're just putting it to use. And I think this is going to really make sense as we progress through this. So one more thing before we get to it. As we go through the six pieces of armor, what I want you to do today is I want you to actually run a diagnostic on your spiritual life. So which of these six pieces do you need an upgrade on? Because we all got something, okay? Where do you need to upgrade your armor? And I want you to be thinking of that and then applying that of this week. So, okay, grab your Bible again. We're going to be in verse 14. While you're finding your spot, you know what's interesting? Is when Paul wrote Ephesians, he actually wrote it while he was in the custody of Roman soldiers. So he was literally looking at the Roman armor while he wrote this letter. In fact, the order in which he describes the armor of God was the order in which the Roman soldiers would put on the armor of God. So kind of cool. So, all right, let's take a look. Verse 14. Paul says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And that's the Bible. Okay, so let's start with the first one. The first one is the belt of truth. So you know what? The old King James Version right here, it said you are supposed to gird your loins with truth, which is just amazing. I need to read that more often just for entertainment purposes. And the imagery here is that a Roman soldier would have this kind of long outer garment. Often it would go down all the way to their ankles. So if they weren't ready and the battle just came to them and they got up and started running, what are they going to do? They're going to trip. So the very first thing they need to do if they're going to get into battle is they got to get their belt on. And Paul is saying for the Christian, firstly, what you need is you've got to have a whole lot of truth in your life, because your enemy, the devil, is hell-bent on deceiving you. And honestly, I think this is a major issue. It's a major problem in our churches in America today. We are, my friends, we are significantly less educated in Christian truth than our parents' generation, or especially our grandparents' generation. The majority, not all of them, but the majority of American churches have spent the last generation now teaching Christian life hacks on Sunday mornings instead of just teaching the Bible. And now we're paying the price for it. As so many people in our churches are falling for ideologies that are, they're completely antithetical to Scripture. And so if you're going to stand as a believer in America, if you're going to stand against all the lies that the devil and his minions are going to throw at you, it is so important that you are learning God's truth. You have got to read this every day. I don't care how you read it. I don't care what you read it on. I don't care if you read it at 3 a.m. or at noon, but you just got to read it every day. It is the truth. It is the belt. You've got to start with this. If you don't have a study Bible, get one. I love the NIV study Bible. The notes in there are excellent. It's going to go deeper. So it's going to talk about the armor, and it'll tell you things like Paul was looking at one of the Roman soldiers, and you'll get that sort of detail. Listen, let's just be real. Some of you on your phone, you order things off Amazon like every, I don't know, 15 seconds or so, right? And so this is an investment that you can make, and it is so, so worth it, okay? And the belt of truth, by the way, is why we believe so much in our Renovation U program. I know so many of you are new, even in like the last 7, 8, 9 months. So every summer, we stop our house gifts for the summer, and we hold Renovation U, which is our 6, 7, 8 Bible and theology classes, where they're free, and we allow you to just really go deeper into Christian doctrine and Christian truth. And it's important. And it's important because if you look at verse 13, you see Paul saying, we're supposed to put on this armor. He says, so that when the day of evil comes, you're ready. Notice that you are to put the armor on before the battle, not during the battle. And so when everything's going fine and normal in your life, that's when you want to be getting the armor on, so you're preparing for the harder days that will certainly come. Okay, let's take a look at the second piece of the armor. Number two, it is the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, the breastplate is that piece of the armor that's going to cover your vital organs, right? Particularly your heart. And Paul says what you really, really need as a Christian to cover your heart is righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? It's kind of a fancy word. Righteousness just simply means that your moral standing with God is right, that it's good. Well, how do you get that? Well, firstly, remember, this is God's armor. It's not ours. And we get righteousness from God when we believe in Jesus Christ by faith. This is like how we often explain the gospel here. We'll say, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, there's a trade that happens. Remember this? And Jesus is on the cross, and he gets from you your sin. He's taking it upon himself on the cross. And then there's the trade. He gets your sin, and what you get is his righteousness is put over on you. It's covering you. It's your breastplate, so that now when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his son. This is why you're forgiven. This is why you get to go to heaven. The righteousness, the good moral standing of the Son is covering you. And this covering, this is not just a theological thought. This is so, so, so important in spiritual warfare and in daily life. Because when the devil and his minions come after you, one of their key tactics is to make you doubt your salvation. Okay, they're going to come at you and they're going to say things like, boy, you messed up this time. Like, you really messed up. Oh, like you think God would still love you after that? Like you actually think you're forgiven? You know what you are? He's embarrassed of your hypocrisy. That's what's going on. That kind of stuff is gonna come at you. It does, right? And see, this is where you've got to know, you cannot fight the big battles of your mind and heart. You cannot fight them with your own armor or your own strength, because willpower cannot conquer guilt or shame. And neither can all these worldly ideas our culture keeps throwing out to all the stressed people of America, right? Things like meditation or yoga or deep breathing. They do nothing to take away shame. It's only the gospel. It's only the armor of God. And so what you need to do is you need to say to your enemy, the devil, you need to say, no. No. You're wrong. You shut your mouth. You're wrong. Yeah, you know what? I did mess up, and I messed up really bad, but this book tells me that Jesus Christ died for that too. And I am covered with his righteousness. In Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no, and no actually means none, not a zilch, there is none, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm covered with his righteousness. What are we doing? We're doing what I said. We're taking the armor of God. All I'm doing is I'm just applying the gospel. That's straight up gospel, what we're talking right there. That's theology, but it's not just staying in your head. You're applying it to your actual daily life, the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, number three. Third thing you need is your gospel shoes, okay? A good soldier can't have slippery shoes, right? Because then they're never going to be able to stand their ground and fight. Actually, the Roman soldiers back in the day had these shoes that were thickly studded with sharp nails. It was like cleats before they invented cleats, essentially. And Paul tells us, verse 15, he says, we are to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. What does that mean? It means that if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be in the battle, you have got to be on mission. So that means you're not just on your own personal time fighting back against the enemy's schemes. It means that you and your gospel shoes are going on the offensive. You are going out and you are taking the gospel. You are illuminating the darkness. You're in the game. But here's my worry. I worry that so many of us, as American Christians, because of our American consumerism that we all swim in daily, that too many of us have shoes that are glued to the ground. Because when we think about our faith, for most of us, we think it through a consumeristic filter. We think, oh yeah, I should start. He was just talking about reading the Bible. I'll start reading the Bible for me. Yeah, I'm going to throw on some worship music when I'm working out or in my car. For me. Oh, I'll take one of those classes in the summer for me. Listen, by all means, grow spiritually. But grow so you can go. Because if you don't go, and if you don't have a mission, what you need to understand is you're actually putting your own spiritual walk at risk. You know, you ever heard the phrase that an idle mind is the devil's playground? That's what we're talking about here. You were meant, you were built, the Spirit was put in you so that you would go out with mission. That's part of how you fight. And I think you have an amazing opportunity, even over the next 13 or 14 days. As Hannah said, we are hosting what, honestly, if I'm truthful with you, has become one of the largest evangelistic outreaches in the state of Minnesota. That's what it's become. It's amazing. God has moved in so many ways that we're hosting this massive Easter egg hunt where people come to the service first and hear the gospel. Why are we doing this? I'll give you a clue. It's not because we love Easter eggs. It's because we want to share the gospel with a lot of people. That's why we do it. It's as simple as that. And people will come. We will see hundreds. Honestly, we'll see close to thousands of guests come, the majority of them not believers, and I'm just going to straight up share the gospel with them. And we're going to pray that many, many, many of them come to Christ. But they need to know that it's happening. And so this is an opportunity where you get your gospel shoes on. You say, who can I bring to hear the gospel on that Sunday? And then move. Okay, number four. Number four is this, the shield of faith. Paul tells us in verse 16 to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You've got to know, your enemy is launching fiery arrows at your mind. Timothy Keller has a great phrase for this. He says that the devil's attacks on us are basically an infection of your imagination. Now think about it this way. What, after all, is worry? It's an infection of your imagination. You're just in your mind. You're going, oh, no, this could happen, and this could happen. And this could. What is anxiety? It's an infection of your imagination. Even if you get to this point and you start feeling like everybody is against you, it's an infection of your imagination. Or nobody cares about you, or that you won't be happy unless you engage in this particular sin. The devil is infecting your mind with lies. And truthfully, this happens to all of us every day. Every day. So how do you get in the fight? You've got to put up the shield of faith. Remember, putting on the armor of God just simply means you're applying the gospel. You're actually putting it to use. My prayer is that you don't just come here on Sunday mornings and take notes, but that you take this godly information from the word and that it actually impacts your daily life. And so here, you've got to speak truth to Satan's lies, right? You've got to stop them from coming in. Did you know one of Satan's most common tactics that he will use on you is the very first question that he asked Eve when he was in the garden. And he turns to Eve and he says, did God really say? And he's going to do that to you. He's going to say to your mind, did God really say that he's in control? Because I'm looking at your life right now and it doesn't look like he's in control with what's happened to you. Just saying. And he's going to say to you, did God really say that his way was better? Because this doesn't look like it's bad. It looks actually quite painful. So why are you doing this? You've got to fight. You've got to get in the fight. Like, that's coming at you daily. You've got to say, blocked. No. No, no, no. Right? Paul tells us to do this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says this. He says, we, Christ followers, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, that means, no, no, no. You're not coming, block, stop, captive. You're not coming in here. And we make it obedient to Christ. That's what the shield is doing. Okay, let me show you this image. This armor of God diagram is actually a pretty accurate version of a typical Roman soldier. And one of the things I want you to see here is the shield. Okay, so it's not like what you often think of when you think of shields. You maybe picture like the round, smaller shield. The Roman shield was actually 4 feet long. And what they would do, because in this time of warfare, it was really common, they would launch fiery arrows at each other. So you needed a massive shield. And they would take the outer part of the shield had a leather lining. And before the battle, they would dip the leather lining in water so that it literally, they could get behind there. And often they would link them together and they could actually extinguish the fiery arrows that came at them. That's how you fight. You've got to hold up the shield when the arrows are coming in. And some of you, you need to hear this right now. You've got to get in the fight again. Because I know that some of you are in this phase in your walk with God right now. Your shield is down. And you are just letting Satan at will fire these darts into your mind of discouragement or jealousy or unforgiveness or lust. And it's just coming in. And I say, let's get the shield up again. Get it up again. Let's get in the fight again. And let me say this too before we move to the next one. I know there are a number of people in this church that you started coming to this church, you're reading the Bible every day, you got in a house group, and you're getting more passionate for Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. And some of you are stepping out, you're starting to share your faith more. I just need to warn you of something. When you get in the fight more and more, and you get in the battle, you raise up like this, the battle comes up like this. Because now you're a target. Right now you're doing something for Jesus Christ. And so you've got to know that that interplay happens. In fact, let me give an example of this. When I was in Rwanda in Eastern Africa in 2018, for whatever reason, actually not even for whatever reason, honestly, the Rwandan church there had prayed and fasted for about a year before we came. The African church knows how to pray. We just were infantile in that in America. They prayed and they fasted. We came, we ran this massive gospel movement, and we were seeing, not exaggerating, thousands of people coming to Christ. Thousands. We got about halfway through the week, and then everything went wrong in about a 60-minute period, right? This is what we would call spiritual warfare, but it's at a different level at this point. And what happens, one of our team members got kidney stones, and he had to go to the hospital in Africa. He was there for 3 days. About 20 minutes after that, a bunch of our team members were sitting out kind of on the balcony of the hotel, and this brick ceiling fell, and almost fell on the heads of our team members. About 20 minutes after that, three of our team members, we were going out to the next mission, they got in this Jeep that was taking us, and it was out in the parking lot in the hotel, and the parking lot was ever so slanted, and one got in, the second got in, and as the third got in, we realized that the driver had forgotten to pull up the emergency brake, and the third person getting in was just enough weight that the Jeep started to careen backwards down the parking lot. About 30, 40, 45 feet. And at the end of the parking lot was a 25-foot cliff. And the only thing that saved their lives was that someone had placed and stuck in the ground randomly, I don't even know why I was there, just the hand of God, that's why I was there, a metal random garbage can was in the brick of the parking lot and the smallest, skinniest tree trunk that I'd ever seen. It was all wide open and it hit that part of the parking lot. And when it hit, the three members of our team, one of them, many of you know her, she's been at our church forever, Renee Louthan. Renee was in a horrific car accident only years before that with her son, Jet. And here she was again, and the devil was coming. And she got out of the Jeep, and she just screamed out. She walked out, and she goes, "Not today, Satan, not today." And I just remember, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, but my dear friend, my Kenyan friend, Sammy Wanyoni, who's an evangelist, came over and he gathered everyone. He said, "We are going to pray. We're going to pray right now." And we began to pray and pray and pray and do battle. And you know what we did next? We went back out there and we reached thousands of people from the clutches of darkness. That's what we did. So we battle, okay? But you got to know, when you battle, then the enemy goes up. That's what we do. But the warfare is real. Okay, let's move to the fifth one. Number five. Fifth thing is this, the helmet of salvation. You don't go into a battle without a helmet, right? You shouldn't even ride your bike without a helmet, okay, right? And so the helmet here is symbolic of what? It's the protection of your mind. Paul gives us a little bit more of a clue in 1 Thessalonians, actually. He tells us to put on the hope of salvation as our helmet. And so what he's talking about when he's talking about salvation here, it's really about the fact of the future, that one day you are going to get to spend eternity in paradise with God. And that is so important because, again, another one of the devil's most common tools is when he speaks discouragement at you. And he says to you, "Why are you doing this Christian thing anyway? You know you're kind of bad at it, right? Like, why are you doing this? Just give it up." And the Bible says you fight back, you protect your mind by focusing on your future fulfillment of your salvation. And so when life gets hard, what you need to do is you actually have to preach to yourself sometimes, right? You start preaching and you say, self, listen up. Life, the Bible tells me that life is hard. It is a battle. That is the imagery. But you need to know that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And you are going to get to enjoy the fruits of that victory. You're going to reign with Christ on a new heaven and a new earth. You've got to remind yourself that the ecstasy of even the first 5 minutes of heaven is going to make an entire lifetime of struggle worth it. You focus your mind on your future salvation. That's how we fight. That's how we fight. This is Hebrews. Hebrews says this. It says that you run your race with perseverance. How do you do it? It says by fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes on the prize. Okay, let's go to the last part. Number six. Number six is the sword. Now, the sword is actually an offensive piece of weaponry, right? This is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. It's the Bible. If you're going to win a fight with someone, you can't just be on defense, right? At some point, you have to go on the offensive. And so we fight back against our spiritual enemy with the word of God. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has given us an example here. When the devil comes and literally tempts Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, how does Jesus respond? Every single time, he says three words. What does he say? He says, "It is written." And he quotes the word of God. That's all he does. He just quotes, the devil comes at him face to face. He doesn't cite a spell or bind someone or do anything like that. He takes the word of God, stabs with a word. What does the devil do? He flees. He leaves. And this is where I think it's important to even memorize scripture if you're going to fight. Well, there are some really cool Bible memorization apps out there. I encourage you to check them out. They're each a little different, so you find what likes for you, what you like. And then I would say, just a real practical thing is pick an area that you feel like maybe the enemy comes at you the most. And it's kind of different for each of us. Maybe it is jealousy or discouragement or lust or something. Pick a verse on one of those issues. And then this is what I want you to do this week. The next time your enemy comes at you in your mind, fight back. And you just quote that word. You just say it out loud. Say, no, 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 no. Blocked. That ain't coming in. That's not happening. I'm taking out my sword. Here's the word of God. And what you're doing as a Christian, it's not magic, it's not fancy, it's not overly spiritual, is you are just speaking and applying the gospel and living it out, okay? All right, let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace that we do mess up. And you know that we mess up, but you've covered us in your righteousness. Help us to fight. Help us to know what to do. Help us to get in the fight if our shields have been down. And I just pray you would move through each and every one of us this morning and this week. It's your name we pray. Amen.